from SLB Radio in Pittsburgh, Youth Express, the nation's first 24/7 radio station devoted to youth writing, music, and conversation.
I don't know why some people look down on people who either give up on college or never go in the first place.
There are people that just hate you because of your race or ethnicity, but we are definitely making progress.
She's hungry for everything, the life within, trying to find her way around again. Looking and searching is what she's doing.
So I followed my brother down to the riverbank, and we donned our skates. While Lev hurried, I tarried. While Lev trudged through the slush, I caught a flake on my tongue.
My parents are from Bhutan. They migrated to Nepal, and I born there, and I moved here in the US. So it's a long journey to get here.
On today's episode, a young artist talks about his musical aspirations, and Pittsburgh teens have a discussion on disability rights. But first, students from around Pittsburgh discuss the differences between growing up in urban and suburban areas.
Welcome to Pittsburgh Youth Media on Youth Express, recorded live from SLB Radio in the Children's Museum of Pittsburgh. This is Sam Bisno, and I'm a junior at Obama Academy. I'm also the editor-in-chief of the Obama Academy newspaper, The Obama Eagle. Joining me are...
Hi, I'm Amanda Jones. I go to Obama Academy. I am a writer and editor for The Obama Eagle, and I'm 16 years old.
I am Marley Vaughn. I go to Elizabeth Ford Middle School, and I'm in 7th grade.
I'm Anthra Cletus, a current sophomore at Upper St. Clair High School.
I'm Isaac Degenholtz, a junior at Obama Academy, and I'm the website director of The Obama Eagle.
We all have sort of a different mix of where we're coming from. Us from Obama Academy, we come from the city. And so one of the things that we had been talking about before we started recording here was access to public transportation. You know, for us, we get a free bus pass from the school. It's very easy for us to hop on a bus at any point and just go anywhere, like the grocery store or something like that. But you guys were saying maybe you don't have access to that. So do you feel like you're lacking that?
I don't usually feel like that. We don't really need to go to the store ever. Our parents will usually drive us. We can get a ride from friends. At least I can.
Yeah, I would agree. Public transport is not really popular. In where I live, we just take the school bus to and from school. And other than that, we just drive.
How often do you all come into the city?
For me, it's kind of maybe every other week for shopping or something, but not very much.
Yeah, I would agree. Not very often.
Are there any major differences that you note between the city and where you live?
It's a lot more confusing to find my way around.
I live in Larmer, and the part that I live in, it's on the very outskirts of my neighborhood. It's kind of by Homewood, but I'm in the heart of the city. If I ever needed something, I can leave my house and go get it. If I need shoes, I can walk down the street and I can go to Target to get them. If we need milk, there's corner stores, we can get eggs, we can get cheese. There's never been a point where I remember at least where I haven't been able to leave my house and be close to something that I need, at least in walking distance of what something we might need for our house. So how is that for you guys? Is it the same? Is it different?
The closest thing for me is a Get-Go that's right down the highway. I live on a side road from the highway, so it's hard to walk places.
Yeah, I feel also the Giant Eagle, which is closest to us, is a good 10 minutes. And even just calling an Uber, where in the city it would take a few minutes, it takes at least 30 minutes just to call an Uber.
That is so different. I Uber a lot. I'm a Gold member. I take a lot of Ubers. They're at my house in minutes if I ever need to call one. They're always near, but see, Liberty, though. There's always someone calling an Uber or Lyft in the city.
So obviously we're all students. I think that one of the major benefits of living in a city like Pittsburgh, for me at least, is options when it comes to education. And not that you don't. I'd be curious to hear what your situation is. But for me, when I was considering where I wanted to go to high school, there were at least 3 or 4 different options that I could have gone to, and all of them were public schools. Many times in the suburbs, there's sort of one central public school, and a lot of people from that area attend that school. Is that where it's for you guys, or is there a lot of education options?
For my area, we have 1 high school, 1 middle school, and 4 elementary schools, but you do not get a choice of the elementary schools. It's just whatever's closest.
Yeah, we have 3 elementary schools that feed into a main middle school, and then junior high, and then high school. But even within our own district, there are other neighboring districts that are pretty close, I would say. Mm-hmm.
Is that something that you feel like you'd like to have, is access to lots of different options, or is it just sort of, it is what it is?
Kind of just is what it is.
What were your options?
For me, so I live in the north side, so Perry was my feeder school. Then I considered going to Alderdice or Obama, where obviously I ended up, because they both have magnet programs. So even though I'm not from the neighborhood, Obama doesn't even have a neighborhood that directly feeds into it automatically. So even though I'm not from that area of the city, I could still apply.
I think leading off of that, are there like private schools in your area? In Pittsburgh, we have a huge amount of private schools. There's Central Catholic, Winchester, Shadyside, like all across the city, there's different access to like private education as well. Is that something you have?
The nearest private schools for me are in Pittsburgh, like the Pittsburgh area.
Yeah, I think private schools are a little further. We have like a few public schools like right next to each other where I live.
So our public schools are kind of far away.
Yeah.
They're really not close. I guess Westinghouse is the closest to us, but that's just because it's in Homewood, but it's not a magnet school. It's a neighborhood school.
So I used to play on a travel baseball team that played in Cranberry, which I think is probably a similar, you know, sort of area to where you guys live in terms of its size and amenities and things like that. And to me, it seemed like there was a very close-knit community in Cranberry. I'd be curious to know if, like, you feel that because you're sort of all attending the same school and you're all within a, you know, relatively confined area, do you feel like you have a very close-knit community with the people that you live with or live near?
Yeah, I would say so. Like, we even joke that our own community is such a bubble, because it really is. Like, I mean, just thinking, one of my best friends' aunt, for example, is our health teacher. All very connected within families and friends, that even through generation to generation, like, everyone in our community is so close.
So you would say, like, where you're living, you're close to, like, a lot of kids and, like, a lot of teachers and just a lot of kids around your age.
Yeah.
For me, it's kind of similar. Maybe it's a little bit bigger. My cousin is a teacher at one of the elementary schools, and my brother is really good friends with my sixth grade teacher's son. Like, everyone knows who each other are, but, like, not everyone's friends.
Mm-hmm. I feel like in Pittsburgh, and I'm sure you guys can attest to this, that live in the city, it's the city of neighborhoods. Its topography means that there's, you know, like 70 plus, I think, neighborhoods. And so I feel like I'm very in tune with, you know, the neighborhood I live in, which is the north side, although it's very large and has a lot of different sub-neighborhoods. And then the neighborhood that I go to school in, which is East Liberty, but not so much the rest of the city. I don't feel like I know other people from the rest of the city.
I don't think I know anyone from Larmer. There are not a lot of kids in Larmer. There are no kids in Larmer. The neighborhood school is Lincoln, but a lot of neighborhoods surrounding it feeds into Lincoln. Like, Lincoln, the big neighborhood, a lot of kids come from there, and you get some, like, kids from Homewood. But, like, Larmer isn't so much deep as it is just kind of long, and it, like, spans across Highland, Lincoln, and Homewood, and, like, those are the places that border it. So in terms of, like, me growing up around kids, I had two neighbors who were kids, and we were friends for a while, and then they moved. But yeah, I think that was it.
All right. Well, that wraps up our discussion on the differences between suburban and urban life. Thanks for listening.
Now, Hezekiah, a higher achievement scholar, talks about his hopes of becoming a successful Pittsburgh rapper.
My name is Hezekiah. I'm a rapper, so Young Hezzy, and I go to school to steer. I do live in East Lead. Like, nothing really be popping in East Lead. Like, everybody be in Target and all that stuff. You know, they trying to come up with new buildings and new stuff. Just keep their violence away from our part of town. Some positive stuff. You just see people hanging around, man, just loving each other and all that stuff. My personal goals is just, like, to be a rapper, man, to make it. Just, like, if I make it big off this rapping stuff, like, I want to buy, like, some of my friends, like, whatever they want. Jimmy Wop. I know people didn't like Jimmy Wapo because he was talking about violence and stuff, but in one of his interviews, he said he raps about this violent stuff, like, that's what's going on in the neighborhood. Like, that's what's going on in the hill. I know I'm not from the hill. Like, that's what's going on right now. Like, you just see people dying in every day, but, like, in his interview, so he was talking about some real stuff. He said if he, like makes it big, he's going to start talking about new stuff, like, oh, I got gold on my chain or like that, like get a bag for my family or something like that. But he died, so that had everybody, like, messed up, man. Like, yesterday, my mom called me. She said, I want somebody to talk to you. it was one of the rappers that was like with Jimmy Wapo. I don't know if y'all know him, but his name is Reese Young, and he was like, man, this ain't the life that you want to live, yo. That really hit me, yo. I want to be like Jimmy Wapo, but like, I want to do it like really big, yo. I want to like what he did, like I want to finish off like what he did, like be the next legend in Pittsburgh. Jimmy Wapo had great hustle. Like, he used to be deep into violence, but I guess he went to jail. He got out of that stuff. Like, he stopped talking about shooting people for real and start talking about like real stuff. When he came up, like, he was said he was gonna do stuff for his boys, yo. And I forgot how the song goes, but it's like, what your mama told you about hanging with them Bethel boys? You gotta finesse the check to get the rest of my boys. Never forget this set, I'm standing next to my boys like that. So he just really got out of that, you know? And he was like, he signed the Wiz Khalifa, and he was really about to make it out until some people was hating. They just got him. I don't really want to kill people, yo. I want to bring, like, vibes. Just, like, vibes that you want to, like, nod your hair to. Like, hey, hey, yo, hey, hey. Not really catch, like, a body or nothing. Not, like, really smoking weed. Not popping perks or not. None of that. I think differently. I think if I start doing this rapping stuff just like him, I think my heart, I could make it deep. I just want to be myself, but, like, based off my rapper, like, you know, he was deep, man. Yeah.
On our last segment, Catrice Stallworth, Oy Adebayo, Nadira Johnson, and Kavya Weaver talk about disability rights and how to ensure resources are available for all people with disabilities.
So this time we'll be talking about handicapped rights.
I had a lot of trouble finding the percentage of people with a mental and or physical handicap, but from what I found, it's roughly 20% or 18.7% in the U.S. And approximately 1 in 5 to 1 in 4 people have mental or physical special needs.
I think that statistic is really striking because it's a relatively high percentage of the population, but proportionally you would not see that represented at all in film or in music or in any kind of media.
There are a series of, like, rights granted to people with special needs. For example, the Americans with Disabilities Act, no discrimination in employment, public transport, or programs. Telecommunications Act, technology must be readily available for the disabled. The Fair Housing Act prohibits discrimination on the basis of disability in all types of housing transactions. Carrier Access Act prohibits discrimination on the basis of disability in air travel. Voting accessibility for the elderly and handicapped requires voting locations for federal elections around the U.S. to be physically accessible for people with special needs. Basically, it's, hey, make the world accessible with pretty much all of these rules.
Do you think that these acts are properly enforced by most facilities?
Absolutely not. I know that when it comes to public transport, it's a nightmare. It's a legit nightmare. I know that when I was younger, I had this thing called a 504, which I guess would adhere to the Americans with Disabilities Act, but it expired, so I basically have to get a new one. And, you know, I thought, oh, either way, going on the bus and getting to where I need to be shouldn't be something I have to worry about. And my freshman year, it was okay because my bus would drop me off like at a feasible walking distance so I could just walk home. And then on some cases, it would drop me off right outside my house, which was fantastic. But then sophomore year, they just straight up got rid of like the school buses for our districts without even considering anything. And they're like, oh, just use public transport. But public transport doesn't drop me off like anywhere near my house. Yeah. So my mom like wrote so many emails until finally we were able to get a bus. And this was a special needs bus, so I thought, okay, great. The bus would come an hour late to school. So already my mom had to drop me off every day, which is hard for her because she has work. And then it would take an hour back. And my bus, it would drop me at the bottom of this hill. I'd have to walk up the hill with my suitcase, which functions as my backpack because I have club feet and right hip dysplasia, so walking's not too hard, but just a bit hard for me. And I'd have to drag that suitcase up the hill and then go home. And it was really rough for me until junior year when we finally got the normal buses back. And I thought, all right, this time things are going to be different. And for like the first few weeks, the bus driver, he would drop me off right in front of my house. And I thought, this is great. But then we changed bus drivers. He'd do the same thing, but he got in trouble for it. And this is where race comes in. Because you see, my first bus driver, he was white. So like, I feel like him dropping me off where I was probably wasn't suspicious. But the next bus driver was black and he got caught. So he couldn't drop me off where I would normally be dropped off. And now I'm back at square one.
Wait, what do you mean by he got caught?
There was a bus right behind him who saw what he did and he got called in and got in trouble for that.
So the bus doesn't come to your house anymore?
No, it drops me off at that same hill.
I think that story is a really good example of how the world is not designed to be accessible or easy for someone with a handicap, and it's kind of a nightmare.
It really is. What do you think with mental special needs? Do you think that people are more accepting when it comes to that compared to physical handicaps?
Some people just aren't willing to accommodate, at least for me, because like I tell people about like how, like my mental illnesses. I have depression and I have anxiety and I have like high functioning autism, and like whenever I tell somebody like, hey, I'm actually depressed, they just dismiss it immediately.
There's just a lot of stigma surrounding mental health issues because it's not physical, people think that it's your fault. Like, you can control it. Just like, make yourself happy if you're depressed. But it doesn't work that way, and that's a really widespread misconception.
I get that all the time. Like, I get the most, like, useless advice. Like, oh, just be happy. If you're anxious, you have to learn to control that. And I'm just like, tell biology that.
So what is your advice for people who don't really understand mental illness or physical?
Google is there for a reason.
Get to know us, but don't patronize us, because along with stigma, there comes patronization. I think I'm saying that correctly. And like, people just talk down to you. In fact, a lot of the time when it came to handicapped activism, like, people would be like, oh, these are poor people who are in need of our desperate charity, instead of, hey, these are well-functioning people, like, say, African-Americans who need help and, like, we need to, like, work out something. We're treated like children. I mean, I'm legally a child, but, you know, when you approach me, don't approach me patronizingly. And also, like, realize that it's okay to ask questions, because I feel like if people don't ask questions, then nothing gets solved.
Yeah, never assume anything.
So speaking of that belittling attitude towards the handicapped population, do you think that Hollywood and the media has helped contribute to this like mindset of disempowering people with disabilities?
I definitely do, and it's not getting better. Like, at least you can debate about whether representation for women or people of color is getting better. I feel like with special needs, you can't debate that at all. Like, the most recent example I can think of is Wonder. I remember reading the book and loving it, but honestly, part of me wonders if I went back to read the book, if I would still like it. Because watching the film, it just, especially knowing that they had an able-bodied, non-disfigured boy play the main character, it just feels like it's sort of patronizing. And like, people would be like, but it's so good. And it's like, oh, people with special needs can do anything. And I'm like, yeah. Like, where have you been the past 30 centuries or something?
Yeah, it might appear like that only because like an able-bodied person played the main character.
And like, it doesn't help, because I feel like a lot of stories with people who are disabled are made for an able-bodied crowd instead of a disabled crowd. So until we actually focus on the disabled crowd, it's going to like continue disempowering us.
Thanks for tuning in to this week's episode of Youth Express. Youth Express is made possible with support from the Henry L. Hillman Foundation, the Pittsburgh Penguins Foundation, and the 33 Foundation, and was produced by SLB Radio Productions. Learn more at youthexpress.org.